This guy thought it was clever, so I don't know, maybe you think it's clever. You know, and he said, you know, think about this. How does a black cow who eats green grass produce white milk that turns into yellow butter? And he's basically saying, how does this happen? You know, and it's, you know, kind of lame, but right, this it's another mystery. And we have lived our lives, and I think even Sangwon's song, you know, kind of depicts this kind of mystery. You know, God, how can you love a sinner like me? You know, and yet in that same tension, how can, you know, this, because you love me, how come these prayers are not being answered? You know, and this is this fine line, it's this mystery that we live in. You know, I received an email this week, a very long email, but very profound email, and basically said, God, if God is God, why did he do such a crap job of making this earth? And he wanted me to answer that question, right, amongst 10 other questions, you know, and I mean, for me, I like those kind of thoughts. I like those kind of questions, you know, and it was just a very simple, easy depiction again of how mysterious life is. You know, how can, you know, we have two different people, you know, are very similar, and God seems to bless one, and God just doesn't seem to bless another one, you know, but it's a part of this mystery. You know, life is sometimes very unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. You know, when we were in Bintan and Elise got sick, you know, all these thoughts rage through your mind. You know, life becomes so unpredictable at that moment. You know, I've been counseling some of you guys, you know, through different things in your life, and, you know, things just happen. And things happen in the weirdest time. And sometimes the time is very favorable to us, sometimes the time is very difficult for us. You know, but life moves on in that way. Sometimes life is very predictable. You know, you do this and this comes out. You know, like our basketball team is going to play, right? I mean, you know, if I have the ball and Kenny's covering me, it's predictable, right? 2 points and the foul. You know what I mean? You know, there's just some things that are just predictable in life and some things that just are not. Sorry, Ken. Because, you know, Kevin pumped him up, so I'm just bringing him back down to earth. Right? But this is what we do. Life is every single day, right? This is what we live. This is how we do, right? Life is a culmination of the choices that we all make. Some good choices, some bad choices. But as Christians, we learn that whatever choices that we've made, we've learned that God comes to redeem us. Not that it's just some rubber stamp that God does and, you know, and everything's okay, right? It's not, you know, Romans 8, 28, you know, it says God turns all things for good to those who love him, called according to his purposes. You know, some people take that scripture and kind of use it, just thinking, well, I can do whatever I want, and God just turned anything to good. But they forget to read the second part, the latter part of the verse that says, to those that are called, those that he loves, right? And those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And so if it doesn't align to God's purpose, right, then the redemption may be further along, or it may not even happen in some instances. You know, so we can recognize that, and we learn, and as believers, we learn to move on as well. You know, a philosopher just simply said, life is a coin. You can spend it any way you wish, but you can only spend it once. You know, and we've been given something very valuable, our life, you know, and our livelihood. You know, and every single day, as I've been pondering this week, every single day, God has so many wonderful things to speak to us about. God has so many wonderful things to share with us. And if we stand still and we listen to him, man, you'll grow. Man, you'll learn. Man, you'll be so blessed. You know, you'll be so amazed at these wonderful things. You know, if we just stop and just listen, you know, and allow him to come in into our arena and to speak to us and teach us and lead us. You know, that's becomes a beautiful thing. When we get so busy, we're in this rat race and we're so busy, you know, and we kind of miss out. You know, the psalmist, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Right? The knowledge of who God is and his purposes and all this comes from the stillness. Actually, a better translation simply says, relax, let go, cease striving. You know, in other words, take it easy, man. Chill out. You know, just chill and know that he's God. Because if we still ourselves, God will come. Right? If we're willing to take time for God to, in other words, kind of make ourselves available to God, He comes. He always comes. That's just what He does. You know, many of us, we're so in tune that as we're living life, you know, we can listen and learn, right, as things are happening. Most of us are not like that. You know, I imagine most of you are kind of like me, that, you know, that you listen and you learn actually through reflection, you know, and through pondering well after the events have already taken place. You know, and I learn like that. I imagine most of you do. And so this message is really a sum of, you know, looking back at the week that we spent or the weekend that we spent away and just pondering and saying, God, you know, what did you do to me? You know, what went on this whole time? And so I just want to present to you. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your goodness, Lord. And we thank you for, God, just your greatness as well. We thank you, Lord, that we have a great God, Lord, that you are not bothered by us in any way, God, that you are not too busy for us in any way, Lord, that you always make yourself available to us, God, when we make ourselves available to you. And so we come into this time, and we ask you to teach us, Lord. We ask you to train us, Lord, and lead us. And we're going to be still today, God. Lord, we're going to come to this place right now at this time, and we're going to be still. We're going to listen to the pastor, God, and we're going to listen to you, God, and we want you to come and speak to us. God, we thank you. Lord, right now in this room, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. We bless you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. If you see, I'm a little more dressed up today. We actually have a big elder board meeting today and stuff. So, and I'm wearing these cufflinks. Actually, I found these. And so in the back of the room, if this belongs to anyone, just let me know, right? So, I'm serious. This is my dual purpose. It was in the back of side room. So Psalm 40. Let's turn to Psalm 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse 5 says this: Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. If there is none to compare with thee, if I would declare and speak to them, they would be too numerous to count. Right? Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. Right? This is what God is like. You know, Psalm 139, the psalmist says, man, if you think about me all the time. It's my own translation. You think about me all the time. If I were to number all your thoughts toward me, right, it says it would outnumber the sand that's on the sea. This is what our God is like. He's always teaching us. He's always training us. He's always coming to us, and He wants us. You know, this is something that just, in a lot of ways, just boggles my mind. How can you want me? How can you want us? But He does, right? In His infinite wisdom, He feels like it's a good deal, you know? And so I come to this place, you know, realizing that, man, God, you have shared many thoughts with me throughout our weekend, throughout our time. And so I just throw a couple at you. Number one, right? What did I learn at the retreat? Number one, that God is more in love with me than I will ever know. Right? That God is more in love with me than we'll ever know. You know, the reality of that. You know, during the worship times, if you notice, I was sitting on the side and took my shoes off and I was relaxing. That was just wonderful times of worship. I just really thank and bless the worship team for that. You know, and I was just relaxing, and I was in charge of taking care of Elise during that time. And I want to tell you, there's great moments in life. There are great moments in life. My prayer for you is that every single one of you, you get to experience worshiping the Lord with your child sitting in your lap, right? And your child worshiping along. You know, I even my words cannot express the incredible joy that I was feeling during that time. You know, and I'm just sitting down, I'm just worshiping, you know, singing the songs. You know, I kind of have one eye to the screen and the team and my other eye toward my little daughter. And, you know, and she's bouncing around worshiping herself. And then all these thoughts started coming to my mind. You know, and as I was looking at Elise, and, you know, and I mean, my heart was just overflowing with emotion. You know, I don't know if I can explain so clearly in my own words to you. You know, but as I was watching her, you know, and I, as a father, I was thinking about God. And I felt God, we were like having this dialogue and all this stuff was going on. And I remember asking myself this question, or asking God this question. I said, Father, do you love me, you know, or do you look at me the way that I'm looking at my child right now? You know, and you know, and there, you have times where, for me, I mean, I know that God loves me, right? And I, you know, but there's moments that, you want God to take you a little deeper. You know, and I'm singing, I'm worshiping, I'm talking with God, I'm looking at my daughter, you know, and I'm asking God, God, do you love me in the same way? You know, do you look at me with wonder, you know, when I do the silliest things? You know, you've seen, you know, our little girl's impression of the Incredible Hulk, you know, and, do you, when I do stupid things like that, do you smile from heaven? And do you look down and, you know, and does it bring warmth, you know, and tingly to your whole body? You know, because that's really what happens to me as a father, you know, and during this whole time as I'm expressing this, we're having this dialogue, you know, and I hear the thunder of heaven, and God says, yes, yes, I love you more than you could ever know, you know, and, you know, as I'm sitting there and just worshiping, you know, the anointing, you know, the anointing is just, it's just presence of God just coming down and just filling my heart, you know, with so many wonderful, wonderful things. You know, and none of us, we're never really clearly in tune, right? I mean, let's be honest, right? You know, even when we're doing stuff, there's always stuff in the back of our mind, you know, am I adequate enough? You know, can I do this? You know, on and on. And all of a sudden, all those things in the back of your mind just go to the wayside when you begin to recognize, God, you really love me. And see, it's not just a theological statement, right? We all know God loves me. Right? We all know that, right? I mean, you've been going to Sunday school, you've been around long enough, even if you, you know, drive by Hollywood, you know, there'll be some guy with a sign that says, Jesus loves you. You know, we recognize all these things, right? Go to any sporting event, right? You'll see the big placards out, you know, Jesus is love, God loves you, John 3:16, you know, whatever the case may be. And we recognize that, but see, what needs to happen, right, is that knowledge needs to come deep and burn inside of us. And then we're free. Right? What did I learn? I learned that God loves me more than I can ever imagine. In that same way, I can tell you with all of my heart that God loves you more than you'll ever, ever know. That when God looks at you, He thinks that you're the most beautiful, precious person that He's ever created. Now, for some of you, that's very difficult for you to hear. Right? You know, there's woundedness, there's brokenness, and, you know, and I say this really up front, that's really not your fault. You know, the enemy has done a good job of wiring your brain in such a way, you know, that when you hear compliments or you hear these kind of things, that it gets disjointed, it goes to another place. You know, but I want to tell you by the power of the Spirit that God loves you more than you'll ever know. And that when He looks at you, that He's not disappointed. Right? That's the word of the Lord for many of you that are sitting in this room tonight. Today, right? Some of you think that when God thinks of you, you think that God is disappointed in you. He's not disappointed in you. God loves you more than you'll ever, ever know. Right? When God thinks about you, right? The scripture we read, it says, God has so many thoughts about us. He's thinking about us all the time. And it's not God, right? Because if you understand the sentence structure in Hebrew, it's not God is thinking about the world, you know, and it's the whole world, right? It says, the thoughts that you have, David is saying, of me, personally me, outnumber the sand that's in the sea. Right, that's on the beaches. Right, it's not that God is concerned with the world. God so loved the world. David is saying, no, God, you're talking about me. And David is saying, I'm speaking about me. This is what God thinks about me. Right, and so what we need to happen here, we need anointing to come, and we need God to transfer that to you. That every single one of us, we begin to recognize the love of God, right? The deep, wide, length, you know, all these things that the songwriters have written throughout the ages of. God loves every single one of you. He's not disappointed in you, right? You know, even the silly things that you do, God jumps in his heart. You know, there's a verse in Hebrew, and it's talking about the deer leaping, and it's basically a messianic kind of prophetic verse, you know, about the leaping of the deer, and the way the Hebrew writers have kind of, you know, often described that is this, you know, kind of as the deer is leaping, it's also that joy that leaps from God's heart when he sees us, right? If you go through the Song of Songs or other passages, you see this great joy that encompasses God when he thinks about us. But yet many of us, we feel like God's disappointed in us, that God is angry with us for some reason. You know, I've said this many times. You know, God is not like us. God has the incredible ability to separate the sin from the sinner. You know what I mean? God doesn't like the sin. Of course not, right? Because that's who he is. But God loves the sinner. You know, we as human beings, we have such a difficult time, especially many of us that are religious, you know, and kind of hypocritical and, you know, and judgmental and these type of things. You know, it's so difficult to love the sinner, you know, and of course, you know, we try to hate the sin, but so, you know what I mean? But God can do that. He can so separate, you know, the kind of the bad stuff that we do, you know, that we know we shouldn't be doing or whatnot. And he puts that to the side. But when he deals with us, it's love. It's love, right? God loves you more than you can ever know, right? Don't turn to your neighbor this time. Turn to yourself. Say, hey, good looking. God loves you. Well, you don't have to say it out loud. You can just say it to yourself, right? You know, God loves me more than I can ever, ever know, right? That's what he does, you know? And my prayer is that today, and not tomorrow, not next week, is that God would burn that inside of you. Number two, what did I learn at the retreat? I learned that God loves to touch his people that are hungry. God loves to come and touch his people that are hungry. You know, you know, like many of you, you know, the messages were good. You know, the worship was good. I mean, all these things were really good. But what I really enjoyed more than anything else was just being with my church. You know, just being there together and watching people. And, you know, during the prayer times, you know, we had some great prayer times. And I can tell when people are hungry. You know what I mean? You know, some people are just kind of chilling and like, you know, God, if you want to touch me, go ahead. You know what I mean? Come on, let's be honest, right? It's like, you know where I live, you know? It's like, you know where I'm at. You want me? Come and get me, man, you know? Kind of thing. And then, but there's other people that chase, you know, and I noticed, and then someone told me to confirm, right? But now I'm praying for people and stuff, and I just see Bernice keep following me everywhere, you know? Right? It's just, you know, I'm over here, and this corner of my eye, I can see her, and then I move over here, and then she's over, and then I move over here. And, yeah, she's like, right? She's hunting me down. That's hunger. You know what I mean? God touches those that are hungry. You know, God ministers. He loves. Because when we come to the Lord hungry, we come to the Lord as ourself. You know what I mean? You know, if I'm full, you know, usually it's more full of myself or those kind of fullness, we don't really come, period, right? God, I don't really need you. You know what I mean? You know, I'm doing well myself. You know, my life is in order. My life is together. You know, but if you look throughout the scriptures, you know, especially when Jesus is walking around, who's coming to him? Those people that need him. Those people that are desperate. People that are hungry. People like the old widow, right, that's willing to crawl on all fours, willing to risk death because she has an issue. Blood is flowing from her, right? She probably has some kind of a problem with her blood cannot, you know, coagulate. And so it's just coming out all the time. You know, and so in Jewish law, if she were to touch anyone, they had the right to stone her. And so she risks death, gets on all fours, and comes and just grabs the hem of Jesus' cloak. You know, and when she does that, what happens? You know, Jesus, you know, turns and there's mobs of people, and he says this, he says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" You know, and you know, the disciples look at him and say, "Crazy man, what do you mean who touched you? There's throngs of people." And he says, "No. I felt power, the word, I felt dunamis come out of me," Right? Because see, it's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting that there's mobs of people that actually can brush shoulders and touch him, right? But Jesus is talking about who touched my heart, right? Who touched me inside? And it was the woman, right? She came along and desperate and hungry and lonely and wanting something, and she got satisfied, right? You know, the scripture says in the psalm, right? Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Isn't that a great verse? You know, but see, how is he going to fill it? You got to open up, man. You know what I mean? And many of us, we come to the Lord and, you know, it's like, God, I dare you to bless me, you know, and stuff. But you got to open up. Open wide your mouth and God says, I will fill it. Right? When you give God opportunity, right, he comes with his blessing. Right? It just works in that way. God loves to touch, right, those that are hungry. Right? He loves to touch and fill people that come and draw near to him. Right? The psalmist says, a broken and contrite heart, says he will not despise. Right? But you come in that way. And I was thinking about this during the week. And, you know, a lot of times, you may think I'm weird and stuff, but I have this mock interviews. You know, I don't know why, but I'm trying to practice my witnessing skills. And so a lot of times when I'm walking around, I have a conversation with myself, and I'll think about all these questions that people will ask me, and I'll converse with them, right, and stuff. So, and I was doing this, and I was walking somewhere in Singapore, and so I'm having this conversation with myself, you know, about all these, you know, different things, and, you know, all these questions that I had, and, you know, I lost my train of thought now, too. Right? What was I talking about? What was I talking about before? No, before that. Huh? What was I talking about? forget it, man. Forget it. Let's move on, okay? Sorry, that was a good one too, man. What? Oh, that's right. That's right. Thank you. Right? Yeah, you know, a broken and contrite heart. And this question came up, and I was thinking, this other person, this pseudo person, does God answer the prayers of non-Christians? You know, and I was kind of walking through the shopping center. I was thinking about that. And immediately that verse came up to mind, right? A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. You know, and if we come to the Lord broken, if we come to the Lord contrite, just means humble, right? That we've humbled ourselves, God blesses, right? And God, he says he doesn't turn away from that. You know, and that seems to be the simple characteristic or the criteria as we go before the Lord. Right? What else did I learn on the retreat? I learned really simply that sacrifice is the doorway into experiencing God. You know, after this time, man, I am never going to apologize for pushing you. You know, and so, amen, amen. right? You know, I mean, if you think about this, and you know, and throughout. You know, sacrifice is the doorway to experiencing God. You know, when all these emails were coming back, and you know, and Bernie shared with me last Sunday, and I kind of knew what I want to talk about already, you know, but man, it was kind of like it just everything just fit. It's sacrifice. You know, it's laying down. It's saying, God, you know, okay, I'm gonna try your way for a little bit. You know, I'm gonna try to, you know, adjust my life now, you know, and follow along to what you want, you know, and it's you know, really, it's about dying, you know, and when that happens, you know, and you know, I mean, you know, flying business class, that's cool and all, right? But you know what's more joyful? You know what I mean? You know what's more joyful is that Kevin got to experience God. You know what I mean? And stuff, and you know, and when things like this happen in my life, you know, like the stuff that we get is cool. You know what I mean? I'm sure Bernice is happy about the contract and, you know, and the deal and everything else, but the joy comes from simply experiencing God. You know, and you know, these guys, they just gave God the room to experience him. You know, because, you know, the experience of, you know, being treated, the experience of doing the work and the experience of the money, you know, all that stuff is going to fade away. But that experience that we have of having known him, and recognizing, God, you know me. God, you honored me. That stays with you for the rest of your life. You know, when I look at mileposts in my own life, you know, of how, you know, I've grown as a believer and these things happen, I tell you, every single time, whatever blessing that came, it was always preceded by sacrifice. Right? There was always a moment of decision. There was always some kind of crisis of belief. There was always something there, you know, and by the grace of God, I chose rightly. I chose to deny myself. You know, I chose to follow God's way, and boom, God always came. You know, and the retreat is, it was just a kind of a small microcosm, a small picture of what that was like. You know, that we had many brothers and sisters, and if you weren't able to come, you know, don't feel bad, you know, but let the Holy Spirit speak to you, you know. And it's like, you know, people said, okay, I got stuff going on, I got things to do, I got work, but you know what, I'm going to lay this aside. I'm going to go and see what God has in store for me, see what God wants, and boom, God comes. He comes. Some of us, let's be honest, you just can't be bothered. You know, I'm just too busy with my life. I can't be bothered with this. I can't be bothered with that. But see, the loss there is not just that you lose out on the experience. The loss is that you lose out on an opportunity to know God. You know, and many of us, we live our life and we journey on in this life, and we have all these, God, do you love me? God, do you care about me? God, this, God, that. But you've never really given God that space to answer your questions. You know, I mean, I recognize that in my own life. You know, like you know, I had all these questions about God. I had all these debates raging through my mind. This is before I became a believer in my early Christian life. You know, and all these things. And I had all these questions. And I never really bothered to wait for the answer from the Lord. It's almost like Pilate. Do you remember when Pilate is interrogating Jesus? Right? If you read very carefully the scriptures, Pilate is saying, "What is truth?" You know, and then he just walks away. You know, and we're kind of like that, right? We, you know, truth is standing right in front of Pilate, you know, and he answers the quintessential question, what is truth? And then we just walk away. You know, we do that a lot. And then we say, God this, God that, you know, da, 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 da. And we never stop and give him some opportunity to answer us. Well, God, you didn't do this for me. Well, yeah. And then we move on with our life. And close ourselves off, close our heart even more so to the Lord. See, God wants to meet with you. But see, there's something about sacrifice. Right? There's something about laying down. You know, it just, if you were to even track your own life and think about what you've accomplished, and you know, if you want to waste your time doing that, but you know, list all these things, you know, and you think about all those things that happened was because you sacrificed something. You know what I mean? I mean, some of you guys have good jobs because you sacrifice time. You know, other knuckleheads like me were playing basketball 10 hours a day. You know, you guys were in the library, you know? It's like, sacrifice, you know? I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, for where we're at now, you know, and my parents were here this week, and man, it was such a blessing. And just, my parents, my mom and dad, they have 8 grandchildren, right? And I mean, they're just so blessed. You know what I mean? And, you know, when I was, we were, you know, it was so fun to go on vacation together and, you know, and all these things. And the whole time I was thinking, man, you know, like this is all possible because my parents sacrificed. You know, they took menial labor jobs. My dad owned his own business in Korea, gave that up, came to the United States, with $30 in his pocket, you know, working in a steel mill. You know, all night long, the graveyard shift, you know, for what, 7 years straight. You know what I mean? I don't know how, doesn't even speak English. I mean, even now, his English is even worse, you know. Actually, I'm saying it got better than it was before. And he became supervisor, right? I don't know how that happens, right? And stuff, but, you know, I mean, it was because sacrifice. You know, you look at anything valuable in our life, it was the sacrifice, either yourself or other people around you. You know, we receive much blessing at the retreat. You know, we could say, woohoo, you know, but you know how that was made possible? Because people sacrificed and they prayed. They sacrificed their time, you know, and they gave themselves to the Lord. Some people sacrificed their finances and made it available for many of us to be there. People sacrificed, Right? It's always one of those things. In fact, it's a great, great theme, you know, in the scriptures. You know, turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8, says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Right? We all want to experience God, right? In order to experience God, you have to taste, right? You have to move. You know, you have to open your mouth. You know, I'm talking so much about our this past week. You know, but we went to a restaurant in Bintan, in a seafood restaurant, and, you know, and I was, you know, I wanted to introduce my family to really good seafood, Indonesian style, Thai, you know, all these different, you know, and some, you know, all these things. You know how my dad loves fish, right? You know, and so he's eating like crazy, and, you know, but my nieces are all there, and I'm saying, hey, try this. This is really, really good. No. Right? Just refuse, right? No, this is really, you know what, they just ate rice the whole time. Can you believe it? All they want, they just ate, give me a bowl of steamed rice, and they were happy campers. And all this wonderful food was out there, and I said, but just taste a little, I know you'll like it. No. Pop, right, which is Korean for rice. Just rice, that's all, I just want rice. You know, and you know, it's kind of like that, right? And God, you know, wants us to experience Him and all these things, and He's just saying, taste, right? Oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. But you got to taste. You know, you got to actually open your mouth, and you got to take the fork or the chopsticks or whatever you use, and you actually have to, you know, dip it and put it in your mouth. You have to do something, right? And then you know that the Lord is good. That's what sacrifice comes in. Sacrifice is part of that taste. You know, you lay down, you know, and you give up, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And God always honors sacrifice, right? You know, we talk about a broken and contrite heart. Right, He will not despise. Right, this is a sacrifice of God, a broken and contrite heart. He will not despise. You know, and when we sacrifice, it opens the door for us to experience God. You know what I mean? And really, church, that is the joy. You know, above whatever we can receive, you know, whatever, you know, we can grasp with our hands, nothing compares. Right, to the innermost feeling that we have when we recognize, man, I have experienced God. You know, and it could be in the form of so many different things, but the bottom line is, man, God, I experienced, you know, my life totally changed. I don't know if I probably shared this testimony a long time ago. My life totally changed, right, with one dream, one simple dream. You know, I was actually here in Hong Kong. You know, and this is 1992. That was a long time ago. You know, and where I was staying out, and I think I was in Yamate at some youth hostel. You know, and I wanted to stay in Hong Kong. You know, our basketball team was here for 5 weeks, and, you know, we had gone to China, and we're supposed to go to the Philippines, but that got canceled, and so I was here. And I just got saved a month before then. And I felt like God wanted to teach me something more, you know, than what was happening these 5 weeks. I wanted to stay in Hong Kong longer. You know, and so I went to sleep that night, and I had this dream. And in this dream, I went home, you know, and when I went home, I saw this, I was at my girlfriend's house, right? I dated this girl for like 7 years, and I was at her house, and they had a big banner up, a big sign that says, "Welcome home, Sam. Come a missionary," right? And I came home, and everyone was, "Oh, great, you did a great job, you know, everything was good." And then I remember I just slipped out of the party, and I walked outside, and I was just walking. This is in El Toro. And I was walking down the road, and I just had this open vision, and God showed up. And I was talking with God. And in this dream, I was saying, "God, you know, I really blew it, didn't I?" And God said, "Yep, you really blew it." And I said, "You know, you gave me such an incredible opportunity to experience and know you. And I came home, and I gave it up." And He says, "Yep." And right then, I woke up. You know, and I opened my eyes, and I was in the youth hostel, and I saw all these smelly guys all around me and stuff, and I was like, yes, right? And so I the next morning, I called my mom, I called my girlfriend, right? I had to get permission, right? Right, I gave them a call, and then I said, you know, I'm going to stay longer. And so I called the Korean Airlines afterwards, moved my flight back and all this thing, and then the doubt started creeping in. what in the world am I doing? You know, God doesn't speak, you know, in dreams, right? You know, I'd never really experienced God before, so it's just my frame of reference. God doesn't speak in dreams. You know, I mean, he spoke to Daniel. Well, you think you're Daniel? You know what I mean? Like, he spoke to Abraham. You think you're Abraham? You know what I mean? And these were the thoughts in my mind. It's like, God, that's holy people. You're not holy, man. Right? I mean, you almost got in 3 fights while you were in here on call. Right? Which is the honest truth, right? When I was playing basketball. You know, and so, you know, I was like, who do you think you are? And then in the midst of all this, you know, we go to the final meeting, and the team's going to leave the next day. We're at the roof of one of the missionaries' houses, one of the YWAMers. And we're all sharing our testimony, you know, and you know, everyone's sharing how what God had done this 5 weeks. And it gets my turn. I say, well, I'm staying, you know, and I don't know if I should stay, you know, but I had this dream, and I just kind of shared it with with my teammates, you know, and the other missionaries that were there. And then one of the other girls, her name's Dana, she actually stayed as well. It was just two of us that stayed the whole 3 months here in Hong Kong. And then she begins to say, oh, really? That's amazing, because you know why? God spoke to me in the beginning of the trip, and God gave me a dream. And you know what she dreamt? She went home, and she went to her boyfriend's house. You know? And then while she was home, and she then, you know, and all this, you know, it was not a banner, but it was like, yeah, it was a party, everything. And then she said that she walked outside, and there was this deep sense of emptiness. And she realized that she had possibly had made a mistake, you know, by going home. And so she said she woke up the next morning and she called her mom and changed the flight and everything. I was like, wow. God does that? You know? But the thought was, God, you know me. You know me. You know what I think about. You know, during that same summer, we're in China, you know, and my roommate, and I have two roommates, and one night in our room, one of the guys, the night before, one of the guys, and his name's Greg, he's the biggest bonehead that you'll ever meet, right? Good friend of mine, but just a knucklehead. And he woke up and he said this. He said, God gave me a verse. You know, and I was like, what? Right? What do you mean he gave you a verse, you know? Because in my theology, or my small theology that I had, is God doesn't speak outside of the scriptures. You know, like the Holy Spirit, the present-day ministry of the Spirit, it just doesn't exist anymore because we have the Bible now. You know, and so he's like, God spoke to me. And I was like, you know, back in my mind, I said, you're crazy. Who do you think you are, a prophet or something? You know, and so he opens up the Bible and he shares what God spoke to him about. And I sat there and I go, oh my gosh. It's as if God wrote that verse that morning just for us. And I was thinking, that's really cool, right? So that night, I go to sleep, and when I'm sleeping, I have, I'm, you know, just enjoying my sleep. But all of a sudden, you know, I feel something poking me, right? And and I got a mosquito net, and someone just keeps poking me everywhere, you know. And so I kind of wake up, and as I wake up, I look kind of leaned over. My friend Angel, my other roommate, is there, and he's just sweating like crazy. You know, I mean, and we got the aircon on and everything, but he's just sweating like crazy. And he goes, Sam, are you okay? I go, yeah, you know, I just feel something poking me. He says, yeah, I know, it's the demon. Right? And I go, right? I said, what are you talking about? You know, and he's basically saying, yeah, you know, the evil spirit was on me, you know, and woke me up, and it was trying to, you know, it's doing all these stuff to me and stuff, and I rebuked it, and it went away, and I was trying to go back to sleep, but the Lord woke me up and said that the enemy's going to come to you, you know, and stuff, and that's why, so he was up, and he was sweating, because he was praying so fiercely, right, you know, and then I was there, and I was like, shut up, man, right, there's no such thing as a demon, you knucklehead, go to sleep. So I wake up that morning, right, and you know, you get a sense of, like, something supernatural happened. You know, like, you just feel, it's not like the hair on your back stand up or anything, but you just kind of feel like, man, it's a little eerie in here. And so I woke up the next morning, I remember sitting on my bed, and I took my Bible, and I said, this is my honest prayer. I said, God, you spoke to Greg, right, I didn't say it out loud, but I was thinking, and he's an idiot, right? And if you can speak to Greg, you can speak to me. And I open up the Bible. The honest show, I open up the Bible, right? I was just flipping through. I didn't do one of these things, right? I was just flipping through, and all of a sudden, Psalm 91. It just like, it, you know, like just leaped off the page. And I read Psalm 91, and I was reading Psalm 91, you know, And it was saying like, you know, he will give his angels charge, because you'll not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. You know, it's talking about the tent, right, that's around. And my bed was like a tent. And the arrows is poking, you know, on all these things, right? I mean, it's amazing. It just fit exactly. I tell him like, hey, Greg, angel, come over here, man. God spoke to me, right? Now, same thing, you know, God spoke to me through his word. And I share these. And those guys are like, they've been Christians forever, right? They're like, that's so cool, man. That's awesome, right? Well, I go through the day, and because I'm a very rational person, my doubt starts creeping in. God really didn't speak to me. That's a coincidence. You know, who do I think I am? You know, what am I, John the Baptist or something? You know what I mean? I mean, this is my honest thoughts. Like, I mean, who do I think that I am? You know, and then all of a sudden, one of my guys on our team, Steve, he comes over to me and he says, oh, I heard what happened in the room. That's great. Da, da, da. And I said, yeah, Steve, I got to be honest, man. I really feel, I think it's just bogus. You know, I don't think it really happened. You know, it's just some figure of my imagination. It's cool. And all. I says, no, it really happened. Because you know what happened that night in the girls' room? You know, we had our girls' basketball team was there. In the girls' room, they had some kind of demonic presence in their room that night. You know, and so the girls had a fitful sleep. They woke up the next morning. One of the girls woke up and God gave her a verse. You know what verse it was? Psalm 91. You know what I mean? And then here I was, and I was just, I can't even explain, you know? And it was like kind of like chills run down the back of your, you know, spine and stuff. But then I started breaking down. And I asked, and I said this, God, you really know me. You know exactly who I am. You know that this is the way I think. You know that even though I receive so much blessing from you, that the next second I'll turn away from you and I'll doubt you and I'll give credit to something else or serendipity or something, you know? And yet you didn't turn your back on me and you loved me anyway. God, you know me. That's experiencing God. I have that for the rest of my life. You know, when I feel like the world is falling apart and things are crumbling, no! I know that He knows me. I know that He loves me. I know that I know that I know because I experienced Him. Do you know what I mean? Kevin, Bernice, these guys have that for the rest of their life. You know, no matter what happens in their life, no matter what circumstances come about, God knows them. God knows how they think. God knows how they work. Why does He know? Because He created us, right? He put the blueprint in us. He says, you are fearfully and wonderfully created. He says, I made you, right? I crafted you even before you were, even in your mother's womb, I made you. He knows who we are. This is how we experience Him. That no one can ever take that away from you. Right? You know, and I, trust me, I go back to these testimonies again and again and again, especially when I'm going through difficult times in my life, and especially when things seem so puzzling. You know, but I go back and say, no, God, you know me. You know how I work. You know, I especially go back when I disappoint God, you know, and where I feel like I really disappointed Him. I go back, but no, God, you know me. You still love me. No matter what, you still love me. You still care for me. You're not going to give up on me. Right, that's not in your character. You don't do that kind of stuff. You know, men give up on people, but you don't give up on me, God. You know, and it draws me, it gives me strength, right? You know, and I can say, you know, very easy, I can do all things to Christ who gives me strength. Why? Because I've experienced Him. You know, where does that experience come? The doorway is sacrifice. The doorway is sacrifice. It's laying down. It's laying down something that you want. It's laying down some, you know, some things that sometimes could be very precious to you. You know, it's just putting these things to the side. It's really about dying. Right? God, okay, I'm going to die to myself because I'm going to live for you. Right? You can't live for yourself and live for God at the same time. It just doesn't happen that way. Right? There is no resurrection without death. Right? But if you're willing to die, there's resurrection power in our life. Amen? What did I learn? I learned, right, that sacrifice is the doorway, right, is the doorway into experiencing God. You know, it's the major theme, sacrifice, then glory. You know, that song that we sang today, right? A sacrifice was made, and then the glory came. That is a strong, powerful theological statement, right? The sacrifice was made, and then the glory came, right? Because that's really, you know, basically what Jesus did. It's the sacrifice. What else did I learn? Actually, this is what I learned this week, and I just throw it in as just an extra bonus for you guys, right? I learned that God took my place when I was in pain. He took my place. He was the sacrificial lamb in essence. You know, when we were sick and when Elise was sick, we went to the doctor and, you know, her fever, she had fever for a few days. She's like actually about 101 for a few days. And then the other day we took her to the doctor and we sent the text out, she was 103. And she's just boiling, right? You know, and she's just wet, sweaty everywhere. And I took her in my arms, and I put my head right next to her head, you know. And I just sat there, and I was just praying for her. And my prayer was, and I'm not, you know, don't think I'm not a great guy or anything like that. You would do the same thing if you were a father, you know. I just put her head on my head, and I just prayed. I said, God, give this fever to me, you know, and. It was just a simple prayer, and I said, whatever pain, and I didn't mean just for this one time. I was praying for any time she's sick, any time. Like, kind of like, I don't want her to have any heartache or anything at all, God. Just whatever, just give this pain to me. I was begging God, please, please. You know, and the reality came. I just felt the Holy Spirit just like this wind just blew right into the room that we're staying at. And I heard Jesus say, that's exactly what I did for you. You know, and I just sat there, just kind of amazed. I realized, wow, that is exactly what you did for me. Lord, you saw me when I was lost and alone. You know, when I was hurting. You know, and you weren't content to stay in heaven and just hang out there and just be God. But you actually came down in human skin and flesh. And you bore my sins. You know, Romans 5 says, while we were helpless, Christ died for us. Right? What the other verse says, while we were yet sinners, while we were broken, Christ came and he died for us. You know, and I recognized, man, that's exactly what Jesus did. You know, Jesus, you know, was God was that Father, you know, that put his head on our head. You know, in the midst of our loneliness and brokenness and pain and despair. And he was in heaven. He put his head on us and he said, man, give me your pain. You know, it was as if he was pleading with the Father. Father, let me have their pain. Let me have their grief. Let me have their trauma in their life. Let me have their brokenness. And the Father turned and said, son, go. And that's what he did. Emmanuel, God with us, right? Jesus, right? God the Father loved us so much, you know, and he saw our condition. He saw what's going on in our life, and he wasn't just content to stay there. He wasn't some God that was far off. He was a God that draws near. He was a God that wanted to come close, and he knew the only way that he can take that pain was to go to the cross, and so he did, right? God loves you more than you can ever know. Right, God loves to touch his people, right, when they come to him hungry. Right, the doorway of experiencing God is sacrifice. And God comes, he came to take away our pain. And he's here today for that. Let's close our eyes today.